You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It wasn't a field day for the Buckeyes yesterday, going down to the Crimson Tide 52-24. Alabama's defense held Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields to under 100 passing yards in a first half for the first time since coming to Ohio State. Looking now at Todd McShay's latest mock draft for quarterbacks, Trevor Lawrence, no surprise, number one. McShay has Justin Fields as the third quarterback to go behind BYU's Zach Wilson, but ahead of Mac Jones, who he has as the fifth quarterback picked. Stephen A., where should Fields' NFL stock be right now on the heels of the championship game last night?
I think right now we have Trevor Lawrence at number one, and then I think it's a crapshoot in terms of Justin Fields with Zach Wilson and Mac Jones. I think when we look at it from that perspective, we have to look at them and we have to wonder about Justin Fields. Now, let's be clear. He was not 100% last night. That hit from Skelsky in the college football playoff that got him ejected for targeting on Justin Fields, we all understand that Justin Fields was not 100%. We all understand that we saw a stud last year that what did he do the previous year? 41 touchdowns, I think it was. 41 touchdowns, just three interceptions. We get all of that. And he played in 14 games. This year, obviously, with things up in the air because of COVID and what have you, only played eight games, had 22 touchdowns. Six interceptions, game against Indiana, he wasn't that impressive. Game against Northwestern, he wasn't deemed that impressive. You have critics looking at him right now, questioning to some degree his accuracy. Again, I haven't seen much of Justin Fields. I know that he's a stud athlete. I know that he can move the chains. I know that he can make things happen. At one point in time, I remember being on this show and asking those college football aficionados, how close is it between him and Trevor Lawrence? And religiously, they all said, it wasn't even close. Trevor Lawrence was on another level compared to this guy, even though he clearly outplayed Trevor Lawrence in that college football playoff matchup against Clemson. Ultimately, what it comes down to is this. On the NFL level, we're looking at the Lamar Jacksons of the world and stuff like that. And you got to ask yourself a question. If you're kind of suspect throwing the football, but you're an electrifying athlete with electrifying wheels, that would be one thing. I haven't seen the second coming of Lamar Jackson. I haven't seen anybody at the quarterback position that can run the football the way that brother can run the football, even though you got cats that can move. They've got some wheels on them. Now we got to get to the throwing. And how good is it going to be? How tall are you? Can you see over opposing defensive linemen coming your way with offensive linemen that are tall blocking for you and stuff? That vision, that kind of stuff comes into play. I just think right now when we're looking at Justin Fields, you know how Mel Kiper and Todd McShay and others, as thorough as they are, you can pick apart a game, two games, three games, and say, hey, we saw this, and that's a red flag for us. It remains to be seen what is out on Justin Fields right now, but I think the fact that it's a question mark, we can't definitively say after last night, Max, that you're going to look at Justin Fields and automatically say he will be the second quarterback taking in this upcoming NFL draft. We can't do it, and that's where it is right now with him.
Everyone has a very short memory. Justin Fields should be the second quarterback taken. By the way, where is his draft stock right now? I mean, there was a point earlier in the season, Stephen A., you alluded to it, where it was like, are we sure Trevor Lawrence is better than Justin Fields? He's had a few uneven performances, Justin Fields. He hasn't been perfect. But the fact is, what a short memory. You know why Clemson wasn't playing yesterday? You know why Clemson wasn't playing? Because Justin Fields threw six touchdown passes against them. He had over 400 total yards. He had, in a game that he had to be at his best, he played the best game of his career. Now, you mean to tell me, because you can't beat Alabama, who some people are saying today, and they may be right, this version of the Alabama team may be the greatest college football team ever. And because you didn't win that game, all of a sudden, like, you may not be the second quarterback taken. Let's look at what Justin Fields, what is he? Does he have size? Check. Does he have an arm? Check. Can make all the throws. He has a strong arm. Is he accurate? Yes, he's a very accurate passer, actually, with excellent touch. He has arm talent. Can he move? Is he mobile? Check. He can run. what doesn't Justin Fields do? No quarterback is perfect at this stage. People complain, and I understand why, about like the internal clock in terms of how to deal with the blitz and all that stuff. Well, that's a lot of young quarterbacks. And even we talk about that, even older quarterbacks, I understand, because Brady's not mobile. But it's like in boxing, Stephen A., when they say, go to the body, this guy doesn't like it in the body. No one likes it in the body. Of course, pressure on a quarterback is tough for any quarterback, particularly young ones. I'm not claiming Justin Fields is perfect. And by the way, against Clemson, and that came into this game, he had the hip pointer problem. The dude's in a lot of pain. He threw those six touchdowns and produced over 400 yards of offense in a rout against one of the major powers of college football to get to the championship game. He did that hurt, and he continued to play hurt in this game and made no excuses. Well, to me, Stephen A., it is very clear. I get why Trevor Lawrence goes first. To me, Justin Fields should be the next guy off the board.
Over the last in his three years at Ohio State, he's completed, I'm sorry, his first year at Georgia years ago, he completed 69% of his passes. Last year, he completed 67%. This year, he's at 70% of his passes. I get what you're saying, Max. I don't necessarily disagree. I'm just talking about folks who cover college football, who watch it far more extensively than me, and look at the three interceptions he threw against Indiana, the two interceptions he threw against Northwestern, and passed for over like 114 yards, and that's it. They're going to use that because they say you have a short sample size. You know it. This is what counts. This is what you're measured by. And here's how you perform. And so they're going to look at those things. It's not to say that he's not a scrub or that he's not even a first-round pick. What we're saying is that when you look at Justin Fields, we went from comparing him to Trevor Lawrence and saying, are we sure Trevor Lawrence is number one, just for a brief second before everybody said, hell yes, he is. But we asked that question about him compared to Trevor Lawrence, to him not even being in the conversation, to all of a sudden the Zach Wilsons and the Mac Jones elevating their stock so much so that he went from a surefire number two to now being projected as the number three quarterback taken. Those kind of things can't be ignored. Somebody's holding something against him. It might not be Max. It might not be Stephen A., but somebody is holding something against Justin Fields because his stock has not elevated. It's dissipated, albeit to a small degree in some people's eyes. It's still going in the wrong direction. We can't ignore that with an NFL draft coming up, Max. We just can't.
Yeah, well, he has had some uneven performances. That is true. And there are some kind of like, pocket awareness issues that some people, like, he's not perfect. No one's perfect. I get it. Like, Trevor Lawrence checks the most boxes, comes the closest to it. He's going first. A guy like Andrew Luck was like that coming out of the draft. But it's not like Luck was the greatest quarterback since that draft. He was very good. There have been others who've been better. And I would just say about Justin Fields that a lot of this stuff, like, take a guy like Deshaun Watson. Right? There were legitimate concerns by some out of college football, even an evaluator saying, what about the intermediate passing game and this and that? But most people who watched Deshaun Watson were like, come on, come on. This guy looks pretty good. And that's what I'm saying about Justin Fields, Stephen A. People who know how to evaluate better than me may have reservations, and I even understand some of them. But when I watch Justin Fields, I'm like, come on. If this guy's not going to be good, he looks good to me. I think he's going to be very good.
We said it about RG3. We said it about Sam Darnold to some degree. We've said it about others. All I'm saying, we don't know.
Justin Fields' college career QBR of 91.7 is the second highest ever in the history of the metric, only behind one Tua. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Stephen A. has been ripping the Dallas defense all year long. Well, now they have hired former Falcons head coach Dan Quinn to be the new defensive coordinator on a three-year deal, taking over for the fired Mike Nolan after Big D's defense had one of the worst seasons in Cowboys history. Now, Stephen A., I know Quinn's tenure at Atlanta didn't work out so well, but let's not forget he was with Seattle when they were that formidable defense, the Legion of Boom, right? That's really his bread and butter. Stephen A., do you think Quinn is a good hire for the Cowboys at D.C.?
I doubt it. I mean, listen, I'm not the one to call about supportive words for Dan Quinn, only from this perspective. He, as the head coach, presided over one of, if not the dumbest play that I have seen in the modern football era, where an onside kick is aimed at the Atlanta Falcons, and they treated it like it was a punt. I mean, they literally, I mean, you're not one, not two, not three. You had six different guys that didn't know the rule. Six different guys. Just an absolute abject embarrassment, okay? And they lost that particular game 40-39 after being up by about 14 points with less than 5 minutes of the game. It's just an atrocious, atrocious situation. Having said all of that, if you're the Dallas Cowboys, there's really not much way to go but up. You're the 28th-ranked defense overall. You were second to last against the run. We all know that. They gave up 39 to the Falcons, 38 to the Seattle Seahawks, 49 to the Cleveland Browns, 34 to the hapless New York Giants offense, by the way. 38 to Arizona. That was five straight weeks they did that. Five straight weeks in the National Football League, okay, which they started off 2-4. They ultimately ended up giving up another 41 to the Washington football team on Thanksgiving. I'm sorry. That's just funny to me. They gave up 41 on Thanksgiving, okay?
Well,
they gave
up
34. They gave up 34 the next week to Baltimore. They gave up 33 to the San Francisco 49ers. They were putrid. So when you look at it from this, listen, there's no way to go but up. Dan Quinn certainly knows something about football. There are some people that aren't meant to be head coaches, you know, but I'm not going to sit up there and knock him for being a coordinator. He's got a good reputation as a coordinator. He's no Mike Nolan, who had the 31st ranked defense in Atlanta in 2014, couldn't get a job ever since until Mike McCarthy grabbed him from the scrap heap. This is not Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn knows football. Dan Quinn had a stellar reputation as a defensive coordinator. And if he ends up in Dallas, I have no problem with it. I'm just saying that that was the location of one of the dumbest plays in NFL history, and he was the head coach that presided off of that. But in the end, I can't knock it. I just think that there's a black cat running around, and no matter who goes there, they go to Dallas to get their reputation smeared. No matter how good they look elsewhere, when they come to Dallas, they never look better.
I think it's a good hire. I do think it's a good hire. And let me just say that he was the defensive coordinator, you know, for the Legion of Boom. He won a Super Bowl and went to another Super Bowl and did a very good job. Now, he had name brand guys on that defense who were indeed star players, not just in name star players. Cam Chancellor and Richard Sherman and those guys, Earl Thomas, were studs, right? Who does he have right now in Dallas? Well, I mean, actually, Dallas has some name brand guys. The problem is, they haven't played that way in the last year or two. When you look at Leighton Vander Esch and Jalen Smith, Stephen A., it wasn't that long ago I thought that's the best linebacker tandem talent-wise maybe in the league. No, they're not. DeMarcus Lawrence is a name brand guy who's had some excellent NFL seasons, but they weren't performing up to snuff this year. Is that because they suddenly lost their talent? Or is that because of the defense itself, the defensive coordinator? And also, the defense clearly lacks depth, too. They need to focus on that. I think that Quinn has a history of getting the most out of talent. So whatever is there on Dallas, I think he'll get the most out of. Also, Dan Quinn's reputation as a head coach. Now, look, I get it. The Atlanta offense was high-flying until they don't have the same offensive coordinator and then not so much. Yeah, I get that. But he went from defensive coordinator of the dominant unit in the NFL that went to two Super Bowls and won one to head coach of the dominant offense in the NFL that went to a Super Bowl. And yes, they had a spectacular collapse in order to lose, But that's what it took for them to lose. They were in another Super Bowl. Dan Quinn has a track record of success, in fact. And too often, I think, we focus on where he came up short. But look at his track record. He's been very successful. I think he's a good hire for the Cowboys.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And just like that, the Tide are champs yet again after dismantling Ohio State last night on ESPN and ABC down there in Miami. Here to break it down for us, the one and only Paul Feinbaum. Paul, it's been a good minute. Always good to see you, my friend. Happy New Year to you and yours. We're going to jump right into it here, fellas. Guys, Crimson Tide receiver Devontae Smith put on an absolute show last night. 12 receptions, 215 receiving yards, 3 TDs, winning offensive MVP less than a week after taking home the Heisman. Now, Todd McShay's latest mock draft has the Jets letting Smith slide to Miami with a third pick, despite the Jets recording the second fewest reception yards in the NFL this season. Stephen, I'll start with you here. Do you think it would be wise for the Jets to go wide receiver and take Devontae Smith, number 2 overall?
I just feel that way. I really do. I, for me personally, with Sewell, I mean, with the way what you're hearing about him out of Oregon, that's a different ball game because obviously, you know, you're looking at an offensive lineman and you got to protect the quarterback. I certainly understand that thinking, and I would defer to Max, Paul Feinbaum, any college football aficionado out there that says that. I can understand it, but I'm just thinking about the ultra weapon that Devontae Smith is. How much better he can make Sam Darnold look because of what the Jets have been devoid of. And to me, I don't mind the idea of him being number 2 overall. I understand it might be foolhardy because if you can't protect the quarterback, what does it matter? But I'm like, hell, do what you got to do. Go out there and find some better level of protection for him. The key thing for me is that in all likelihood, we might not know how bad the Jets' offensive line was because since nobody was getting open, Sam Darnold probably had to hold on to the ball all day long and ultimately, you know, put himself in a position where ultimately they were going to get at him because nobody could get open. That's how bereft of talent the New York Jets were this season as far as I'm concerned. And I think that you need some talent to indicate what you have available to you. So I'm just of that thinking, but I understand how people might feel differently.
Devontae Smith is great, and he had a great game last night, and the Jets should absolutely not take him second overall. First of all, teams that draft wideouts that high don't win Super Bowls, and there's a reason for that, because you can get wideouts much lower in the draft. Look at the best offenses just like in the AFC. Who's the best receiver on the Chiefs? Tyreek Hill is a fifth-round pick. Who's the best receiver on the Bills? Stephon Diggs, fifth-round pick. In the NFC, who's the best? I'm talking about the most likely teams to win or to come out of the conference. Who's the best receiver on Green Bay? Devontae Adams, second-round pick. Why is Deshaun Watson want to trade? You know, one of the reasons DeAndre Hopkins isn't there anymore. DeAndre Hopkins is a late first-round pick. The point is you can get great receivers later in the draft. Calvin Johnson was taken second overall and lived up to the hype and played in two playoff games. And that's because teams drafting that high, usually it's because they stink. They need a lot more than just a receiver. So, for example, the Jets need multiple offensive linemen, multiple linebackers, and maybe a quarterback. We don't know yet, but maybe a quarterback. And I actually suspect they do need a quarterback. But Darnold's very young. You could argue if you give him weapons and protection, he'd be better. Okay, fine. I take Justin Fields. But okay, someone may argue otherwise. You could trade down and fill multiple needs. Or if you can't trade down, you can take a commodity that's harder to come by. You know what's harder to come by in the second, third, and fourth rounds? Great defensive players, a defensive end, a cornerback who's shut down. Those guys usually aren't around later on. A lot of times a great offensive lineman, especially a left tackle, those guys a lot of times aren't around later on in the draft. So, look, if it's the Miami Dolphins who are drafting third because it's part of a plan where they stockpile draft talent and they're a good team, take Devontae Smith. Of course you do. But if you're the New York Jets and you're drafting second overall because you flat out stink everywhere you look, don't take a wideout.
Yeah, since I don't live in New York, I'm not as emotional as Max is about this, guys. But I would take Devontae Smith because I don't remember ever seeing anything quite like him. I mean, Stephen A., you and I have been talking about Alabama football for many, many years, but he has blossomed onto the scene. I say that knowing, like you do, that because you were there, because he won the national championship 3 years ago with a walk-off as a freshman. I mean, he's a unique talent. He's a generational talent. So I think you do have to take a gamble on that and quit playing the percentages, which the Jets have been doing seemingly forever. And that's why they're the worst franchise the second worst franchise in the NFL.
Well, here's what made me laugh about Max's take. And it's not laughable in terms of his content. It's laughable when Max brought up the word, if you're going to win a Super Bowl, the Jets. Max Kellerman, where were you born?
Well,
remind the world,
they do
Max
things
Kellerman.
Like take a receiver
side. Hold on, Max, work with me here. Remind our audience, when were you born, Max?
1973.
And when was the last time the Jets were in a Super Bowl, let alone won one? What year was that?
1969.
So not only
I'm not a Jets fan.
Not only were you not on this earth, you were not even conceived the last time they won
Correct.
A damn Super Bowl.
And
the last time they were
eye.
In a Super
That's
Bowl.
Right.
And yet somehow you're sitting here and having a conversation. Not gonna win a Super Bowl. Win a game? Get to the playoffs. How about that? How about that?
Right.
Just do something.
That's what I'm saying, Stephen A.
We know.
That's what I'm saying.
And not only that, Max, it's MetLife Stadium. I know it's New Jersey. It's East Rutherford, New Jersey, near the swamps. I get it. But it's close enough to New York City. Can we give Broadway and the folks of Broadway something to cheer about? I mean, I understand the offensive line
Why
is
you want
very,
to do that
very
to Devontae
important.
Smith?
But can we give them somebody to look forward to watching? Other than some big boy just mowing people over black and white, can we do something?
Let me say this as a Giants fan. I love the fact that the Giants have Saquon Barkley. Because a lot of sports is your emotional reaction, your emotional response. I get to watch Saquon Barkley when he's healthy and root for him because he's on the team that I root for, right? Like, that's a great joy of being a sports fan. But Stephen A., it was a mistake to take a running back second. Even a guy who can catch passes and everything, you can get great running backs later in the draft.
It was a mistake to take
Saquon
Barkley?
And sometimes a T.J. Watt or
second
overall,
yes. Barkley?
Sometimes a guy like... Second overall, yes, Ezekiel Elliott was a mistake at his position in the draft. They were drafted too high because you can get great running backs later on, even later in the first round. And it's hard to get, like McCaffrey was taken up high, not top five, and he's outperformed everybody. Dalvin Cook, and there are guys who are not taken in the top three who are great. And even later on, in later rounds, Chubb and these guys, right? So I'm just saying, when you see, sometimes a T.J. Watt goes late in the first, Cameron Jordan late in the first, that kind of guy. But normally, the difference makers on defense, the corners, those guys go way high up. And you, if you're building a team, you better grab one of those guys or you'll never have them.
Okay. I'll defer to you, Paul. I'll defer to you.
Yeah. Well, I ended this conversation 5 minutes ago. Stephen A., you and I are right.
Works for me.
Yeah, you did, Paul.
Works for me.
My goodness. Paul, I miss our talks at the coffee station in the Seaport. I'll leave you all with this, guys. The last receiver to be taken within the first two picks of the draft, that would be Calvin Johnson. And I think I was still in college at that point. So it was a while ago. We'll leave it there.
Two playoff games
his whole
career.
We'll talk to you soon.
Ain't his fault.
Thank you for being with us. Well, he was on the Lions. I mean, come on. Tough times. We'll keep it moving here, guys. And I want to get to the news out of Philadelphia with the Eagles. So the Eagles have fired head coach Doug Peterson yesterday after five seasons where he led his team to two division titles and Philly's only Super Bowl win. Peterson's firing significantly increases the chances of quarterback Carson Wentz staying in Philadelphia, source told our Jeremy Fowler. On that note, we are going to bring in Swagoo, Marcus Spears. Where is he?
What's up, people?
There he is. Marcus, this time last year, things were a lot different for you.
Are you looking at Swagoo? He look all buffed and everything, like he about to get in the cage.
I'm losing weight.
Against John Bones Jones or somebody. Look at that big boy.
I'm trying to build some muscle. I'm sick of being thick. I need to build muscle. I need to lean out. So,
well, I listen. Based on what you just said, I have very bad news for you. I have very bad news. There ain't no way in hell you getting away with not being thick. That ain't a part of you at all. I mean, can you imagine a skinny Marcus Spears? That ain't going to happen.
I was thick when I was born, so I'm going to stay thick. I'm going to just have more muscle on it.
Yeah, all right. Okay.
What's up, Molly? You look great today, Molly.
There's no
dealing with these two.
Thank you. Listen, Mark is professional athlete, his wife, he's got this. He's got this under control, right? Your son's about to be a superstar, too. We already know your daughter is, like, number one volleyball
Molly,
player in the
country.
Molly,
did you know his wife?
But we will stay focused.
His wife jumped on me. Yeah. Him and his wife jumped on me. You know, she jumped.
I knew
she
it.
Jumped me. You know, say she
another
jumped on me.
Another reason I like her.
You know, I'm just
and
saying.
And Damian Woody's wife got all over you.
They both, the wives got on me. The wives got on me. You know, but Damian lost his credibility when he showed up on TikTok. You know what I'm saying? He did all
Oh, my goodness. Stephen A., I used to get on you, too, but now I just let it go because I know you're going to do what you want to do. Unbelievable. Please don't ever sway your hips like that again. I just can't handle that. Oh, my goodness.
This dude, man.
All right. Marcus, this time last year we were down there in LSU.
Miami.
You were celebrating all that in New Orleans. Different deal right now. But, yeah. Stephen A., let's go back to the Eagles firing Peterson. Much more serious note.
Yeah.
Do you even think this was the right decision? Do you think he was the problem in Philadelphia?
Listen. I'm not going to absolve him. They went 4-11-1. And you can't absolve the head coach when something like that happens, Molly, and we get all of that. But, I mean, damn. You got to remember, Molly, I worked for the Philadelphia Inquirer for 17 years. Okay, I was a college beat writer and then an NBA writer and, you know, and a general sports columnist and all of that other stuff. 17 years I was there. And they never won a championship. And they had been to the Super Bowl. They hadn't been to the Super Bowl until they got there against Jacksonville in 2004. They hadn't been there since 1980. And they had never won a Super Bowl championship in the franchise's history. We are 3 years removed from this man delivering the Super Bowl championship. And by the way, they had been in the playoffs the previous 3 years. And then all of a sudden, things collapsed this year, and he's out. I just feel like it's something that rubs me the wrong way about this. Carson Wentz was awful. Howie Roseman needs to be held accountable for it. We get all of that. Even though I would give him and Doug Peterson a chance to come back and make amends. They were awful. But for Doug Peterson to be the lone dude that received the pink slip, I just got a problem with that right now. I mean, listen, it's Philadelphia, and Philadelphia was starving for a Super Bowl championship for folks' entire lives. And after, you know, for the first time in the franchise history, he delivers a Super Bowl championship, and 3 years later, he's out of a job? There's something about that just rubs me the wrong way. I don't think that was the right decision. I think it was more about Carson Wentz. And I'm not saying that Peterson deserves to be absolved. I'm not saying any of them deserve to be devoid of being held accountable. But they have earned the right to come back and make amends for a one-year debacle. And I think they should have been granted that, and I was unfortunate that they weren't.
As a Giants fan, I wish they were. I hope they bring them all back and keep them as long as possible. Great. That'd be great for me as a Giants fan. I have no problem with Peterson getting the pink slip. My problem is Howie Roseman didn't also get one. I understand it's hard to move Carson Wentz's atrocious contract, but when you want to look at the common denominator of the problems, it's Carson Wentz. Who did Peterson win that Super Bowl with? Wentz didn't play in any playoff games. None. Zero. That was Nick Foles. And the following year, with that valiant title defense, it was Nick Foles who took over the team. They were 5-6, caught fire, made the playoffs, went on the road to Soldier Field, beat the Bears, who a lot of people like to get out of the NFC that year, and then went to Drew Brees' house and came one Alshon Jeffrey drop away from getting to the NFC Championship game. I mean, if you're going to defend your title, that's how you do it. All Nick Foles. Matter of fact, even last year, look at how Josh McCown, a one-legged 40-year-old quarterback, how did he perform in the playoffs? They lost to Seattle by the same exact score that they'd lost to Seattle in Week 12 with Carson Wentz as the quarterback. And now how about Jalen Hurts? How have the Eagles looked since Jalen Hurts took over? They look good. Peterson knows what he's doing with quarterbacks. There's one guy who's resisted him. There's one guy who's willfully wanted to do it his own way. We've talked about that on this show a lot, and that's Carson Wentz. That's the common denominator. Look at the immovable contract. Who gave him that contract? That's Howie Roseman, the same guy who can't draft. 5 years, half a decade since he's drafted a Pro Bowler. Who was Wentz, by the way? Half a decade since he's drafted a Pro Bowler. Arcega Whiteside over DK Metcalf. Rager over Justin Jefferson. And they have cap issues. Their cap is a mess. So how is Roseman still there? If Peterson gets the pink slip, Peterson's got to go. Because he never asserted himself when he could have. Even what I've heard is he was still fighting to try to fix Carson Wentz. But maybe that's because you know you're married to the guy. You can't get rid of him. No one wants that stinking contract. For that reason, Roseman had to go along with Peterson. Peterson shouldn't be the only guy fired.
No, he shouldn't have been fired. And it's because... Number one, I got to tell both of y'all, I played for the Cowboys. And like Stephen A. reminds me, between 2005 and 2013, I played for three head coaches in Dallas. Went to the playoffs twice, and that was with Wade Phillips. These dudes don't grow on trees. Doug Peterson didn't all of a sudden become a bad coach. All right. He didn't all of a sudden forget how to get a team ready to play and get them to perform at a high level. I want anybody to show me a team with a quarterback playing as bad as Carson Wentz that won a lot of games. Somebody show me one in the history of the league. And then you look at all of the things that transpired. They had 13 different, Sal Powell was on earlier. He came on our show yesterday. 13 different combinations on this offensive line. Mike McCarthy just got a pass because of all the attrition and the year of COVID and all of these things. And you telling me the Philadelphia Eagles fired Doug Peterson after what Stephen A. just said, brought a Super Bowl, put a statue of him and Nick Foles out there. Last year, took him to the playoffs with a team that was beat up as well. And then this year, everything came to a head with this record because your quarterback couldn't play. Like, that's the honest truth. Now, here's what I will say. I said Doug Peterson after the Washington game, I said the only way Doug Peterson should be fired is if he lost the locker room. If a lot of these guys are returning, don't have faith that their coach is going to put them in the best possible situation to win games. And you could argue that. I wasn't mad about the decision to play Safel in the game against the Washington football team because it didn't matter anyway. Doug Peterson ain't give a damn about helping the Giants or the Cowboys or anybody else. But the point being is you have two overall conversations transpiring. Can Doug Peterson coach? Yes. You answer that question. Did Doug Peterson have success in Philly? Yes. Does Super Bowl coaches get a pass? Yes. Mike McCarthy, the damn head coach in Dallas right now because of a Super Bowl in Green Bay. Nobody else was kicking the door down to hire Mike McCarthy. Doug Peterson will find himself a job pretty soon here, I'm sure. The other part and the caveat and the thing that is the reason why Doug Peterson was fired, number one, to Max's point, and Max, you've been right on this all along, they appeased to Carson Wentz. Doug Peterson is gone because of Carson Wentz. That's the reason he got fired. And the other one, I don't know this. I'm not in right. The inner workings of this franchise. If he lost the locker room, I'm talking about guys that's going to have to come back and play very important parts for this team, then you have to move on. If it's falling on deaf ears, either you move on from the coach or you get rid of those players that won't listen to the message.
Marcus, he wasn't allowed to pick his own staff. Even now, I think because he knows there's no way to move Carson Wentz. I got to fix him. He wanted Press Taylor to be promoted to get the offensive coordinator job. And they wouldn't do it. Right. Like so if you are a Super Bowl winning head coach and then the next year you have a follow up like that, that's the time to assert yourself. But Jeffrey Lurie wouldn't let it happen. Lurie, Roseman, whoever, wouldn't let it happen.
Yeah.
And now he decides, now I'm going to assert myself. Now I'm going to insist on Press Taylor. Too late. Not after the way this season went. You are right. He's proven himself an excellent coach, Peterson, and very good for quarterbacks. You are right. He'll get another head coaching job. That's different than saying he shouldn't be fired. This can't work anymore. He's got to go. So does Roseman.
I think your argument, I just have a problem with it. You, in the same breath that you're saying he's excellent, you're recognizing the fact that he's a Super Bowl championship, but you don't want to give him an opportunity to make amends for something, a problem that he contributed to. Think about what we're saying here. Even if we stomach, Max, and completely accept the fact that you're absolutely right in terms of the accountability you want to attach to Doug Peterson, let's take into account what Marcus Spears said. Excellent coaches do not grow on trees. If you're going to utter out of your mouth that he is excellent, if I'm the Philadelphia Eagles franchise, and 3 years ago this man brought the first Super Bowl championship, not 10 years ago, not 20 years ago, 3 years ago this man just brought a Super Bowl championship to our squad with a backup quarterback, I just think you can look at it and go like this. Okay, listen, you need to come back and make up for what happened here.
Stephen
and
A.
I think he deserves that opportunity
they won't let
to
him
do
succeed,
that.
Stephen A.
Beyond the Super Bowl.
I would agree if he could succeed, they won't let him.
Beyond the Super Bowl, he just took a beat-up team to the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
We're not talking about a coach that you have to question if he can get a team to play hard and at times
and you have
perform
to question if he knows what he's doing.
Level.
And like, you have to question if he knows what he's doing. Nobody's questioning
like
that about Doug
no
Peterson.
That's no question. But I can two-part this, and I know we hate to do this because you got to fall in one side. But if a coach loses the locker room, then you really have no choice other than trying to repair that situation. But this was all about, and Max, this was all about the general manager choosing Carson Wentz. I gotta like that. That is the underlying factor here. The general manager, chose Carson Wentz. No, it was the general manager. The general manager sided with that decision because that is what would save his job. That is what would say you. You
Here's
just talked
the
about
the
bad
owner,
decision making.
Marcus.
Go ahead.
Jeffrey Lurie, and Steven knows this from his time in Philly very well, I'm sure. Jeffrey Lurie has gone through this before, and he's considered this great owner, but I think he spent a lot of that capital just now. He sided the year the Eagles went 6-10. There was a fractured locker room, McNabb and T.O. He sided with his quarterback. Now, that was the right thing to do. It was the greatest quarterback in the history of the franchise. In his prime, you side with the quarterback, but it did divide the locker room.
Yeah.
Now he's done it again with Wentz. And he did it not with the greatest quarterback in franchise history, but a guy who's tearing the team down. And he's created a difficult situation for his head coach. To the point, guys, that I don't think Peterson would have been set up to succeed no matter what in Philadelphia. My point is, he's the fall guy for Wentz right now, Roseman. The
Max,
three of them should be gone, not
Max,
just Peterson.
I was just about to say, you know, it's funny. And we understand it because we heard all of these reports coming out of Philly. But it's funny that he had an MVP season under Doug Peterson. Doug Peterson is under all this heat and the quarterback doesn't go speak for him. That tells you who Jeffrey Lurie chose. If Carson Wentz would have walked into that office and said, hey, I want Coach Peterson back, we're going to get this thing right. I've seen us have success with him. I've had success with him. This whole situation would be different. But this became about the coach and the quarterback. And to your point, Lurie chose the quarterback and the GM.
Here's where both of y'all have me a little bit confused. Y'all have me a little bit confused because I don't understand. I want to make sure I want clarity here.
Yeah.
So on one hand, we're saying that, and I'm not questioning the validity of any of y'all sources. What we're saying is that Howie Roseman chose Carson Wentz, right? Howie Roseman chose Carson Wentz.
We're also saying, Max, according, you know, obviously, and Swagoo validated it, that the team didn't get, they picked Doug Peterson's coaching staff. So Doug Peterson doesn't get to pick his coaching staff. Doug Peterson doesn't necessarily have faith in Carson Wentz. Howie Roseman did. Carson Wentz looks absolutely awful. And then the Doug Peterson's the fall guy? I will say this to you. Listen to what I'm saying. Yeah. The Jeffrey Lurie that I know, if Doug Peterson doesn't get to pick his coaching staff, and Doug Peterson isn't the guy that vouched for Carson Wentz, all right? Doug Peterson ain't out of a job, or at least he ain't the only one out of a job, especially when you bring into account the fact that the locker room could potentially be against him. If the locker room is against Doug Peterson, if we know that he didn't have this power, if we know that he didn't vibe with Carson Wentz, you think they don't know? So if he doesn't have the power, if he doesn't have the support of the locker room, something is awry. It can't be all of those things, and he don't have the support of the locker room, because those men, Marcus Spears, would go like this. Yo, that ain't on him. You didn't give him the power to pick his staff. He knew something was wrong with Carson Wentz. You made him keep Carson Wentz. They would stand up for Doug Peterson under those conditions, y'all.
Stephen A., I understand what you're saying.
Here's the issue. Number one, go ahead, Marcus. Go ahead.
Real quick. I believe the justification for the firing is the rapport with the locker room, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't think Doug Peterson should have been fired based on his resume and what he's shown us the ability to do. And when I say locker room, that really speaks to the quarterback. We all have lamented about Carson Wentz's power, and we talked about his attitude towards the end of the season, not being dressed. The bottom line is this. The Eagles chose Carson Wentz over Doug Peterson, and I'm pissed about it because Doug Peterson is the one that facilitated all of the things that needed to be done in order for the Philadelphia Eagles to win a Super Bowl. Carson Wentz fell off this year. That wasn't the doing of Doug Peterson. That was a lot of extenuating circumstances. Doug Peterson took a while to make the change to Jalen Hurts in spite of trying to save Carson Wentz and see if he could get it back on track. Nobody went to bat coach, and that's my issue.
Stephen, I understand why there's like a lack of clarity, because these things are nuanced. But let's start with Jeffrey Lurie. If the owner chooses the quarterback, everyone's in a bad position, and it sets a bad culture, period. Right? It's a bad culture. Now, Wentz felt empowered. Wentz, according to what I hear, changed a lot of Peterson's plays continually, right? And we saw that week in and week out. And that's why I was sounding the alarm in the middle of last season, because you could see it in the middle of last season. So it steadily eroded Wentz's play and also the team's chemistry. Howie Roseman, you're absolutely right to point out, like, wait, what's going on with Roseman? Roseman's just lacking accountability right now.
Right.
That's why he's still there. Yes, he did put together a Super Bowl team, but Stephen A., Howie Roseman hasn't drafted a Pro Bowler in forever, handed Carson Wentz that enormous contract, turned around, drafted a quarterback second overall because he could see the direction it was going, and he's still there. Peterson became the fall guy.
He was the fall guy.
The owner's not going to be the fall guy. In this case, it's not the
GM.
I'm
just telling you.
The quarterback has apparently aligned to the owner, and the coach is gone.
All I'm saying is the Jeffrey Lurie that I know would not let Howie Roseman off the hook. He might make this same decision about the head coach, but he wouldn't let Howie Roseman off the hook. Not the way he held Joe Banner accountable all of those years. And Joe Banner did a damn good job when he was running the Eagles football operations. So it strikes me as a tad bit odd that Howie Roseman is still standing if all the information that y'all say
he
is
chose
true.
The quarterback, right. Stephen A.
Yeah. Okay.
Lurie chose
we'll
the quarterback.
See. All right. So it appears Carson Wentz won in the short game, but this is a long game, so we'll see how this all plays out. Guys, we only got a couple minutes left. Max, I'll just get right to it. Do you think the Colts should go after Carson Wentz?
No. I mean, if I were the Eagles, I would target the Colts because of Reich and all that, and they've had success together. But if I were the Colts, would I want Carson Wentz problems? No, I would avoid it.
I would. Phillip Rivers is done. I mean, listen, he had a decent year. They got to the playoffs. They lost in the first round. Nobody was even expecting that from Phillip Rivers, so we'll give him props. He's been around a long time. He's incredibly immobile. He ain't scrambling 2 yards. We understand what he is and what he is not. And when you look at Indianapolis' offensive line, their running game, and some of those dudes they got at the receiver spot led by T.Y. Hilton, I'm sorry, if I could go out and get Carson Wentz, particularly since I coached him up 3 years ago when I was in Philadelphia, Frank Reich, I would do it.
I'm going to be petty because I like doing that on this show sometimes and wishful thinking. If I'm the Indianapolis coach, all the capital I have would go to Houston to get Deshaun Watson. And Deshaun Watson come back and tear up the Texans in their own division. I know I'm petty. I know it's wishful thinking. But if I'm the Indianapolis coach, I'm making a play at Deshaun Watson. I thought the question was about Carson Wentz.
I mean, Deshaun Watson, Wentz ain't even in Deshaun Watson.
So to answer the question, no.
All right.
No.
Okay. Buff and petty Marcus Spears. Thanks for moonlighting with us. We'll see you on NFL Live a little later.
Family.
Like that shirt, too. Max, Stephen A., I see you always. Bye.
All right.